Hi, I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and this is Toxic Free Talk Radio, where we talk about how to thrive in a toxic world and live toxic free. It's Wednesday, May 13th, 2015. It's a beautiful day here in Clearwater, Florida. We had this big thunderstorm last night, so the air is all clean, and it's just beautiful today. So today we're going to be talking about plastic versus paper, and particularly in Bottles made of paper. Well, yes, there's new technology that where they're now making paper bottles, like for things like cleaning products and pet food and all those things that usually come in plastic bottles or jars or containers, whatever they're called. And now they're being made out of recycled paper. And this, I think, is a brilliant thing to do because it very much lessens the amount of plastic that's in the world, but it's also much less toxic, and toxic residues don't get into the products inside from the container. And we're going to talk about all of that today with my guest, who is the founder. She actually developed these incredible things. I mean, I'm sitting here looking. I have four of these sitting on my desk, and I have never seen one in a store, but I know that they're there. And it's and it's something that you've never seen before. You can like look at it on the shelf and go, what's that? And it really is amazingly different. And I can see this being the future of what is going to be on our store shelves instead of plastic bottles. My guest is Julie Corbett. She's the founder of Ecologic, and she makes this packaging that the earth can live with. Hi, Julie.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm very good.
Good. So I want to hear the story of how these bottles came to be first. Like, how did you ever think of this, and what motivated you to do it?
Well, I think from many different perspectives, when you're raising a family, I had two young children. They've grown up since, but as they all do. But I had started, you know, when my children were very little, transitioning the family into basically buying food with better ingredients, more healthy ingredients, as you know, mm-hmm. Especially with babies, starting buying organic baby food, buying products with less sugar, ingredients that I could read on the back label that weren't chemistry, but really more, you know, akin to mm-hmm. natural foods. So as you go through that transition, obviously, and I think most of America is looking for better, more healthy lifestyles, especially when it comes to their children, you're a lot more sensitized to the environment around you because you realize whatever we grow in the ground obviously gets consumed by our beautiful babies. So I think it's a natural evolution for a lot of new moms. And mothers all over the world, actually.
Yes.
You, the minute you have children, you're more sensitized. So when my kids went to school, you know, they go to school in Berkeley, always the hotbed of more radicalized and maybe more, cutting edge
yes.
sort of thinking, their school went to a waste-free lunch program. And when a school goes to a waste-free lunch program and they have a really great way to motivate the kids. It was like the biggest loser, where the class that generated the least amount of waste in a given week, they would do a big weigh-in at the end of the day, and they added it up over 5 days. So whatever class generated the least amount of waste won the ice cream party. So, you know, it doesn't take much to motivate a bunch
that.
Of kids.
I love that.
So what became very interesting is that forced a lot of the families at the school that we go to really start thinking about, you know, how much waste you generate, because a lot of the school projects were revolving around that. So we started measuring how much waste we generated as a family. Now, what's fascinating is that, you know, you go quickly into Tupperware, quickly into reusable, bottles, you know, Clean Canteen or Nalgene bottles or Camelback, whatever. Mm-hmm. Your fancy thermoses, you know, I used to go to school with a thermos. All of a sudden, the thermos, mm-hmm. you know, I bought a couple more thermoses for my girls. So those were the easy things to do. But what happens is that you realize all the products you buy to put in your kid's lunch box comes in a lot of packaging. So instead
yeah.
of throwing the packaging at school, you start throwing it away at home. So as we'd gone through a month of this, I realized that we got to a point that it was really hard for us as a family to reduce our waste. Now, the kids were doing great. I mean, I think my daughter's fourth grade class won 3 weeks in a row. And, you know, we were getting to the point that I had to peel the banana before sending it to school so it would be weighed in with the rest of the trash. But it was a big eye-opener. So, yeah. You know, I started grocery shopping and, you know, buying, you know, obviously I'm always looking at buying better ingredients. But what was really quite striking to me and my children was that you know, the choice in packaging, there was no choice. And it's amazing. I mean, when you start thinking about it from a packaging perspective, just like you go down the aisle, call it of the dairy / juice section in the grocery store, the amount of choices you have just in orange juice alone is a mind blow. I mean, you mm-hmm. know, sugar, no pulp, you know, mango infused, organic, non-organic, in a carton, in a plastic bottle. I mean, you know, there's thousands of different options just when it comes to one orange juice purchase. The same thing for milk, non-fat, you know, 1%, 2%, you know, 64-ounce, 1 gallon, small. I mean, it's organic, non-organic, lactose-free. I mean, it soy milk. I mean, it's just amazing. But when it comes to packaging, there was little choices. So I thought to myself, isn't this amazing that we've gone to a point as a society where, you know, we're all understanding the impact of waste on the environment. And as a consumer, you want to have control, similar to you want to have control to the kind of ingredients you buy. And that choice is there. But when it comes to packaging, there was no choice. So that kind of set my thinking, you know, just sort of understanding how big of a void there was. So I got an iPhone maybe about 6 months later. You know, we're well into this program. The kids are adapted. You know, everything is good. The school has seen a huge amount of not only waste reduction, but they don't have to pay as much money to get their waste taken away. So everybody's winning. But the home, our home trash and recycling had not changed. So when I got this iPhone, I opened it. It was the first iPhone. This was in 2007. I opened it, and inside there was this beautiful molded fiber tray, a paper tray mm-hmm. that was molded just like a plastic tray would be, except it was paper. And it was the first time I'd sort of, outside of egg cartons, I'd sort of seen this beautiful form factor. And it really was clear that you could now, paper had evolved as a technology, that mm-hmm. you could shape it and make it look like plastic, but it wasn't. And that's really what's amazing, right? It wasn't plastic. It was paper. Right. So it set me down this journey thinking, gosh, I wonder if I can make a bottle out of this. So, you know, turn me from a, you know, everyday, you know, working mom into, you know, seeking an alternative. And lo and behold, you know, we came up with a paper bottle.
It's just, I think it's amazing. And it also goes to show that when you start to put your attention on something, then often solutions appear just because you've made a decision that you want to go in that direction. And that how many people opened those iPhone boxes, but you were the one that said, I can make a bottle out of this. And I just think it's wonderful the way that happens in the world. It's a great thing.
It is. It when you start thinking differently, and I have to credit the school. That's what, you know, schools are always an amazing, you know, sort of anchor to change in thinking, because schools all over America, children are so sensitive today to environmental issues, to health issues. I mean, when I went to school, you know, my mother gave me a little thing of Tang, and I'd put it with water and I'd drink it. I mean, nothing against
yep.
Tang, but you know what I mean? But
yes.
it's, you know, that wasn't part of the conversation, right?
Yeah.
So schools do a good job, and schools are doing an excellent job
yes.
at raising the next generation. And that school program really changed our family's perspective and
yes.
sensitized us to how much waste we were generating.
Yes. When I used to live in California, I was born and raised there and lived there for many years. And I was part of the founding of a company that made many environmental products that ended up in Walmart and stuff. And it all started because somebody, the founder's daughter, came home from school and said, "Dad, what are we doing to help the environment?" And he started a whole business that still exists today. So schools do make a difference. We need to go to break, but when we come back, we'll talk more about plastic bottles and other solutions. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and my guest today is Julie Corbett, founder of Ecologic, and you can go to her website, ecologicbrands.com, to see these wonderful bottles. We'll be right back. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and my guest today is Julie Corbett. She's the founder of Ecologic, and they make bottles for packaging consumer products out of recycled paper instead of plastic. Julie, before we start talking about your bottles, could you tell us about the existing plastic bottles and packaging that you're replacing? What kind of plastics are being used? Things like that.
Yeah, so the company was founded in 2008. I had the bottles, and quite frankly, what is interesting about packaging is that packaging serves a very, very important role in the distribution of products, all the way from when it's made, the product is made, all the way to your pantry or your refrigerator. So it protects the product inside. So, and you know, America is a huge country, and the world is a big place. So things are shipped far and wide. So we had to spend a fair amount of time at developing a package that we knew could withstand the environmental, the shipping environment, the retail environment, the refrigerated environment, all the different environments that products endure before they get consumed. So that took a while, but we had done a test with Strauss Family Creamery. They were instrumental in sort of helping me, move this technology mm-hmm. forward. And Strauss is the first organic dairy west of the Mississippi. Most
I know
of their
them.
Milk is
Actually,
sold
in- I used to live out there in West Marin by them, and I used to go to the farm, and it's great. I love their place. I love what they're doing. A long time ago when they first became organic is when I lived out there.
Yeah, well, and they use, most of their milk is sold in glass, reusable glass bottles. You buy the, like the old style milk van where you bring it back mm-hmm. and they refill. Mm-hmm. So anyway, we did a store test with, Strauss, and, just to tell you how ripe the market is for sustainable packaging that, people really care, is that they sold 72% more milk in our container.
Wow.
Than they did the previous. So we knew we were on the right track. And what I wasn't, I'm not a packaging person, obviously, by trade. And, I don't know the industry. At that time, I didn't know the industry. There was an article published in Packaging Digest, which is the biggest sort of periodical in the industry. And I got a call from Peter Swain at Seventh Generation, who saw the article. And Seventh Generation has a very, very deep, very rooted in their DNA and their brand. Vision is sort of a reduction in virgin materials specifically. A lot of their bottles are made out of recycled plastic, but also reduction in plastics overall. And they were launching a new product, a new detergent product that used less water, so good for the environment. And they wanted to put it in our bottle. So they were our first customer. We developed a beautiful bottle for them, and it's our longest selling product today. It's been in the market for 3.5-4 years, sold all over the U.S. And, they saw a 6% share in market gain, and they saw a lift in sales of, the first year, almost 25%, in our bottle. So it's been a good hero product for them. They also launched a baby laundry detergent in our bottle a couple of years later, a nice 32-ounce that you could find in specialty baby stores. So it's been a very, very big success. And since Seventh Generation, we developed new products because think of the plastic bottle. It's ubiquitous. It's everywhere. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So we developed a protein powder canister with a company called Body Logics. So you could see that in GNC's, the Vitamin Shop, Walgreens. That is like a 75% reduction in plastics. It's a beautiful bottle, different shape and size. And we have a lot of other customers around the planet who use our bottle. Our bottle is sold in Austria. It's sold in Germany, Holland. There's products in Australia, New Zealand. So it's a very exciting time for our technology and company. But we just launched our biggest launch, and our biggest innovation to date is with Nestle Purina. They launched a new kitty litter called Renew, which is non-clay-based. It's a lightweight litter that's made out of old corn cobs and spruce. So, again, using discarded materials to make the world a better place. And that just started selling in all the PetSmarts around the U.S. and Canada. And that is 100% plastic-free, two sizes. So it's really exciting time, very, very exciting time.
I have that new one, the Renew bottle, sitting here on my desk. And one of the things about your bottles is that the other ones you sent me for samples, and the most of them have plastic lids, but the Renew one had a paper lid on it. And I thought that that was very innovative. I really liked that it was 100% plastic free. And also, it just makes sense that if you're selling a product that has environmental benefits inside, that the packaging should go along with that as well. It just makes everything in agreement. And I have to say that I just think that I can just see in the future every product that is currently in a plastic bottle being in your paper bottles. I can see that.
Well, I share the same dream. I share the same dream. But you know, this is what you know, nobody tells you how hard it's going to be. You come up with any idea, and you know what is so intuitive and like duh kind of moment that a lot of people have in their life. You know, I had the same. I will tell you that that I think there will be a day within the near distant future where you're going to walk down the aisle of the laundry aisle, or the juice aisle, or the pet, or the condiment, or you know, God, you know, so many aisles of the grocery store. And you will see paper bottles. So the future is close. It's just not easy. And that's really the bottom line. You know, every brand that has, you know, adopted our technology has seen huge growth in sales. And it just shows you how women, specifically 80% of all purchases in the retail environment are made by women, head of household. Mm-hmm. So what women think is critical to the success of any product. And women, I think across America, blue, red states, it doesn't matter. I think people care about waste and litter and understand that we're in a finite resource world. The problem is that the industry is an old industry and change is not easy. Yes. So that is what is going to take time. But I agree with your vision. I agree with your vision.
Yes. I love it. I love what you're doing. We need to go to break. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd. My guest today is Julie Corbett. She's the founder of Ecologic, and she makes packaging, like she replaces plastic bottles with bottles, beautiful bottles made out of recycled paper. And we're going to talk more about that when we come back. Her website is ecologicbrands.com. We'll be right back. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. Deborah Lynn Dadd, and my guest today is Julie Corbett, founder of Ecologic, and they make these beautiful recycled paper bottles to replace plastic bottles. So, Julie, I do want to talk about plastic. Can you just tell us what are the plastics that are used to make plastic bottles?
What process are we use? So, at the end of each day, the back end of a grocery store, you have huge amount of cardboard waste, because everything shipped into a supermarket, a Target, a Walmart, or a drugstore basically comes in a paper box. So at the end, they have this huge waste stream that they need to deal with. So we take what they call old cardboard boxes, OCC. We take those cardboard boxes and we ship them to Manteca. And in Manteca, we have the technology that basically pulverizes the paper or the cardboard boxes, and makes it into a blend, like a smoothie kind of blend. And then we have technology that presses it into a paper shell. So I like to say from box to bottle is really the process that we use.
A question that often comes up for me, people ask me about recycled paper, is that you're recycling the pulp, but also whatever ink is on there. So does the recycling process remove inks or anything? I've never actually seen in person a recycling process, although I've read about it. So how does that happen? What happens to those inks?
Well, that's the beauty about paper. There's what they call de-inking processes. As you know, ink separates pretty quickly from water. You don't think it does, but there's special enzymes that really separate the two. So that is an inherent part of paper recycling. The reality about paper is that it's one of the easiest materials to recycle compared to plastics. Plastics come in different colors, and once you have color in plastic, you actually cannot take out the color. So that's what makes paper unique, is its ease of recycling, its ease of convertibility. Once you've made paper, you know, it's one of the ease, that's why it's the most broadly recycled product in the world today, is because it's a natural product, and it all you have to do is re-wet it, and it converts back into its fiber form.
Yeah, that's pretty amazing. I love how that works. So would you describe the way your bottles are constructed? Because I think one of the questions that probably the listeners are wondering is, if it's just paper, how can you put a liquid in it?
If it's just paper, how do you put a liquid in it? Well, some of our bottles, not all, but the ones that do carry liquid, we do have a very thin plastic pouch on the inside. Sometimes at this stage, we don't have a full replacement yet, but it is a necessary evil in some ways, because products, once they're made, have to sit on the shelf for sometimes more than a year. So you need what they call shelf stability. Mm-hmm. To keep the product intact, and obviously waterproofing, and plastic serves a good role for that at this point. So our pouch has 70% less plastic than a regular bottle. So for liquid products that need that kind of stability, we do have a plastic pouch on the inside. But the pouch is a separate, it's really a separate thing. It's fully recyclable, and it's a lot less material, but it's not embedded. The thing about paper is that the minute you coat paper with plastic, and you see that with milk cartons and soup broth, for example, you know, you buy soup broth in those cartons, those
right.
laminated structures. Once you coat paper with something like a plastic or any kind of petrochemical, it basically makes it impossible to recycle. It makes it very difficult or very expensive to recycle. So we don't embed the paper with plastic. We actually just have a little pouch on the inside, so two separate materials. When you're done, you crack it open, and you recycle both of them separately, or you can compost the shell.
I just think this is so brilliant. It's because I can really see how, instead of having this big plastic bottle, that you can just, like, I have a house with a yard, so I would just compost the bottle, and that would be it, and I'd have two little pieces of plastic to put in the recycling and done. And, you know, it's a white cap, and I think it's a clear plastic bag inside. And so this all can be recycled through the industrial system or through the natural system. And it's just brilliant design. Brilliant, brilliant.
Thank you. I think we're at the, you know, when you talk about brilliant, I think, you know, if you think about being an entrepreneur, what I'm finding is that our innovation has inspired many, many, many other kind of inventors. And sorry, I have a cold, so sorry about that.
Okay.
And I think that you're going to see more and more innovation in the packaging space. I think this has unlocked potential, and it's fantastic to see that, you know, an industry that has had no change, you know, in the past, you know, 50 years, to see sort of a renewed, you know, invigoration of the way people are thinking, the way people are thinking about materials instead of plastic. So I think, you know, if you could sort of spark somebody else's imagination, then you're moving the pendulum in the right way.
Yeah, I think so. And I think that one of the things that I see in this is that, I'm always trying to think like out of the industrial box. And I know that you're making these industrially, and I'm not saying that industry is a bad thing, but a natural material that can go through the cycle in nature of breaking down and going back into the ecosystem, et cetera, then I'm always looking for that kind of solution. And most of your bottle is that kind of solution. And, it's just, we need to be moving in that direction so that we're operating within the ecosystem rather than solely within the industrial system, like is most of what's going on now.
I agree. And, people are becoming more and more and more aware of these plastic islands that are forming in the oceans. Richard Branson just made out a call to, they called it the billion moms call, is that, plastic, if it doesn't go into the right stream, it ends up in the ocean, in our rivers and through our ocean. And, it's dramatically changing the ecosystem in the ocean. And the ocean is a very, very important, you live in Florida.
Right.
It's an amazingly important kind of lung for the earth. So when you look at islands in the Pacific that are as large as a continent forming because of plastic waste, you know that anything that dissolves once it's thrown away or doesn't make it to the recycling stream is a good thing.
Yes, yes, absolutely. We need to go to break. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and my guest today is Julie Corbett. She's the founder of Ecologic. She makes these great recycled paper bottles that replace plastic bottles, and her website is ecologicbrands.com, and we'll be right back. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and my guest today is Julie Corbett. She's the founder of Ecologic, and we've been talking about her recycled paper bottles that will one day replace all plastic bottles on the planet. There. So, Julie, I think I'm running out of questions here, but I know that you have more to say that I can't even think of. So what's something that we should be talking about?
Well, I think what everybody needs, look, I think we're all, we're a collective of all individual choices,
Yes.
There's 300 million Americans, and I'd say 50% of them, are probably going to be going to the store within the next 48 hours to buy something. And, I think that you can't move the needle alone. You can't. But I think when you have a collective of people making individual choices that sort of are starting to align with, what is probably better for the overall planet, I think that that's where the needle gets moved. So, I really do encourage people that when they do go shopping and they do buy products, I think there's some really important things that they need to be looking at, assuming that, most products on the market today are quality products. If you really want to make a difference, you could go to you need to look at your package and look to see, one, if it's a recyclable package. Now, just because it says it's recyclable doesn't mean that it gets recycled. Those are two different things. But, if you live in a community where, you're not, easy access to recyclables is not that prevalent, then, you could buy products made out of recycled plastics, for example. I know that Method 7 Generation, there are a lot of companies who are, instead of using virgin plastic in their bottles, are using recycled plastic.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Paper-based. You go down the aisle of the grocery store and you see cereal boxes. There are some brands that actually, their cereal boxes made out of recycled paper. So I think, if we want to go into a world where we're not taxing our precious resources so much, buying products made of recycled content is actually is going to make a big difference. Obviously, our paper bottle stands alone, but we're not at a point yet where it's prolifically available in all products that we buy. I mean, that day is coming. But I really encourage people to, you know, to speak with their dollars. I mean, I think brands are understanding it today that they need to, the ingredients, they've focused so much on baking goodness inside their product. Now they need to bake goodness on the outside of their product. And I think that is going to make a sea of change.
I agree with you. One of the things that I have been running into my whole adult life as a consumer advocate is just being able to get the information about the products that you can't always get the ingredient information. And so I'm actually right now doing a big push to do more work about increased disclosure. And it occurred to me that if we want people to make better packaging choices, it would be great if there was like a little symbol that manufacturers could put on the front of the package, so that like if it's made out of recycled, that they would put a recycled symbol or something, so that and indicate that this is a package. They're talking about the packaging material, and that people, as they're going along the aisle, they could just look and see that symbol and know that this is a preferred packaging kind of thing. I can look at this and say, oh, this is obviously recycled paper because I know what it looks like. And then I can look on the back and see that it's recycled. But if we want to get people to be making better packaging choices, I think something on the front of the label that indicates that the packaging has, there's something special about it, I think would be a very good idea.
Yes. And I think that I agree with you. And we've done, you know, consumers like you have really made the change. I mean, look at now when they list how many calories from fat, sodium content, sugar content. When I go internationally and I buy products and I don't see that, it drives me crazy. Mm-hmm. So we've done a great job because of your advocacy on the ingredient side. But yeah, I think to see the same thing happen with packaging, that would be a dream come true, and it would help everybody make the better choices, because we're free to make the choices we want. But if we don't have informed choices, then, you know, we're kind of buying blind. So
that's,
I agree
exactly
with you. And I think the sustainable, like, and this is the problem, right? Just because something has a number one or a number two on it doesn't mean that it actually does get recycled. And people like the Sustainable Packaging Coalition, the SPC, has started really pushing for standards on disclosures on recycling and symbol that are authentic to where we really are as a society, that number two is not good enough. It has to have number two, because, you know, colored plastic doesn't get recycled as much as clear plastic, right? Even though they're both number twos, mm-hmm. Chances a milk jug gets recycled are far higher than a colored plastic bottle, like a Tide bottle or All, or, you know, something of color, because it's not as sought after. So SPC, the Sustainable Packaging Coalition, has really worked hard, but not every brand is part of the SPC. So that is the problem. It's still a voluntary, disclosures. You're seeing people like Seven Generation, Method. You're seeing some of the products on the natural side participate in the SPC standards, but it's not by far. It's still a small segment of that market. So I don't know if the government has to jump in and make it mandatory the way they have with food labeling, but something needs to be done to educate the public for sure.
Yeah, I think it's my impression, and you can tell me if I'm wrong, it's my impression that actually all these changes are really being driven by consumers, and that companies are responding to the consumer interest, and then government will respond. I don't think it's a top-down thing.
No, I agree. But for food label disclosures, for example, you know, it took the government companies
right.
started doing it for responsibility, to be responsible and to educate, you know, to sort of espouse brand loyalty. But at some point, you need a tipping point where, you know, everybody has to be on the same page, and that, you know, nobody's lying. You know, that's the other thing, right? So I'm not saying that government is the only solution, but at some point, you know, You know, they're,
no,
they're,
I see what you're saying. What I would like to see is one of the things I think a lot of people don't know is that the labeling laws are different for different types of products. And
correct.
I would like there to be a universal labeling law that for every type that applies to every type of product that says all ingredients need to be disclosed, period.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter what it is. And like for in food ingredients, if you are labeling a food product, you have to put the greatest amount, the highest percentage ingredient first, and then it goes down in descending order. And we just need to have that on every product. And it seems like a simple thing to me. But
I agree. Go ahead.
That's a place where I think that government will have to require it, because I see a lot of companies, especially more natural products, are giving that kind of disclosure, but other companies aren't.
I agree. It's one of those things, you know, it's like the GMO debate, right? I mean, there's huge, at least in California, there's a huge push, and we're seeing California, you know, places like California, places like, you know, Washington State, New York, even so actually Florida, you're looking at, you know, there's a movement big enough that politicians are listening. So this GMO debate has been a hotbed in California, and I think, you know, forcing to disclose whether you have GMO content,
right,
is people resist because nobody, you know, when there's a perception that, you know, GMO is bad, nobody wants to put it on their labels.
That's exactly so, right. I think that if it were mandatory by law that everybody has to disclose everything, then people will have to say, oh, we're GMO and we've got this toxic chemical and all the things that they're hiding today will come out and they'll go out of business or they'll change their formula or whatever.
That is exactly, yes, changing formulas. Isn't that what we're all about? And we've done so much good work over the last 10 years. And that's because people like you have educated the people, people about the toxicity out there in the environment, but also you're speaking with your dollars, and brands that disclose and that are transparent are getting, you know,
right,
more and more consumers attracted to them. So transparency is a good thing. You're right.
It's totally good, because if what you're doing is a good thing, why not say it? Why not show what you're doing? And I think that those products that are transparent are moving forward, and I'm always looking for transparency. And anyway, well, we're coming to the end of our time, so thank you so much for being with me today, Julie. Do you have any final words you want to say? We've got about 20 seconds.
No, it was a pleasure speaking with you, and I think I really applaud the fact that when you think about, you know, your mission as a radio show to sort of offer not only the diversity of conversation around products and ingredients, but also about packaging, I think it's time that we start talking more and more about it. And I really appreciate the opportunity.
Thank you. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lindad. Be well.